self-situated here. I didn't think about how I was going to start this message off. And you're probably going to be even more surprised in about a minute or so here, but everyone has need, right? Everyone has needs. There's a variety of needs that we all have, but I think one of the most important needs we have is what? It is Jesus, yes. And it is also his community. We all need good Christian community. No matter what we may think about ourselves, everybody needs to be in Christian community. That's why the Bible so clearly commands it so much. You have to be in it. The main part of that being here in church on Sunday together, gathering weekly in life groups for which you can go look and sign up if you have not already. Limited space there, so you want to make sure that you get out there and see what you can get into. But Christian community, good Christian community, is the hub for our lives, okay? We don't take care of all your social community needs here. That's not the intention and the purpose. We just like to see ourselves as providing the important hub of that there, because as believers, you're going out into the world and you're going to be getting into several different kinds of communities and being in several different kinds of circles and rubbing shoulders with all sorts of different people. And you have to have some sort of a home base that can help you to maintain the faith in your life, because it's easy to lose it out there. And so we see ourselves as very important, not wanting to take care of everything. We don't want to tie you up in this building any more than we absolutely have to make sure that you explore, grow, and apply the faith to your life, and to keep on in that process, and to get out there and be salt and light to those who desperately need Jesus. So good Christian community is important for every single one of you here today. Unfortunately, though, too many of you have succumbed to the enemies of community, a string of poor excuses.
Meet me at the lookout.
Gotcha.
Good community is in serious jeopardy. Poor excuses are abounding. We must find them and expose them for what they are.
Let's go.
The villain, ignorance and fear, is near. I can smell its fear.
What does fear smell like?
It smells like... Never mind. Just be ready. Stop! Behind that garbage can in the corner. Move it, Robin, quickly!
No right to what?
She means life group community, Robin.
Yeah, that propaganda you're harassing everyone with.
It's not propaganda. It's about getting together with others into meaningful, Christ-centered relationships. Are you saying that you want to be alone, without any real friends?
No, no! I don't want to be alone! I don't want to go without any friends!
Cut the theatrics already. If any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. Now, ignorance, get your act together.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Now, get to church and sign up for some life group community. Next time, we won't be so easy on you. Ignorance and fear. Quit hanging out with the wrong crowd. They're nothing but a string of poor excuses.
Well, that was easy.
Yes, but we're far from done. Okay, Robin. On the count of three, I kick the door in and we rush this indifferent procrastinator. He'll probably be sitting on the couch looking docile.
Gotcha.
Don't let his appearance fool you. He is incredibly capable at not getting involved and at getting others off track. One, two, three. This has got to stop! He's good.
That's right, Batman. Just look at the screen. Look at the screen. This is awesome. I love this movie. No, I can't. Time's wasted. Gotta break free.
Jude 1:20-23, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt, snatch others from the fire, and save them. How are you going to do that on your own without community?
Well, maybe I could join a small group.
Exactly.
I think I'll go get ready for church.
Come on, Robin. Snap out of it. Okay, Robin. Look inconspicuous.
Dressed like this?
Just don't draw any undue attention to us.
How will we spot Too Busy?
You'll know her when you see her.
Batman, look at that lady over there, bossing that coach around, acting like she owns the place.
That's Too Busy. Let's go over and pay her a little visit. Too Busy. We need to talk with you about something.
What? Who are you? Can't you see I'm busy? Run, run, run!
That's precisely the problem.
Oh, I see. You're here to judge me about my church involvement.
From the looks of that poor coach, being judgmental is nothing new to you.
I don't have time for your meddling nonsense. I do my devotions online, I connect with others online, all on my schedule.
Really now? Feisty blonde.
This is the way busy people like me work. Something you don't seem to understand. Running around in that ridiculous costume.
You seem to have overlooked something, Too Busy. Hebrews 10:23-25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Let us spur one another on toward love and good deeds, and not give up meeting together, Let us encourage one another as you see the day approaching. Not online, too busy. Meeting together.
All right, all right. You win.
Now get to church, too busy, and get into a life group. ASAP.
Can I finish watching my son's soccer game?
Yes.
Did I get her?
Above it all.
You're finished, Batman.
I'm finished when you step into line above it all.
I have a group in my home. It isn't that wishy-washy life group social nonsense you've been spouting off about. We dig deep into the Bible.
What about
Hebrews 23-25? Acts 2:38-47? Those verses say nothing about your corny, shallow life bunk.
Don't just stand there, help out! What about Ephesians 4? Working together as one people, under one Lord and one faith.
You just haven't had enough yet. You can't admit defeat, can you? As always, misusing Bible texts that say nothing about your seeker-sensitive, light-group garbage.
Father, give me wisdom in my hour of need. You forgot something above it all.
What?
Exodus 18. Moses gathered the people into groups of 10. Acts 20. Paul had the people gather publicly and in home to home. If it was good enough for Moses, if it was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for us. Good you were.
Oh, holy Bible, Batman, you did it!
Remind me why I keep you around.
Well, I mean, it looks weird when you walk around in a bat suit and talk to yourself all the time.
Oh yeah, right. Community is restored. The poor excuses are exposed. It is now up to people to make the right choice. To help build and enforce community, or to continue in the nonsense that tears it down.
Well said.
Catgirl, do you have to do that every time?
I'm here, guys, ready for the action.
You've missed it all again.
Oh.
Don't you check your emails?
Oh, and it would really help if you didn't take catnaps at the wrong time.
Okay. The director's cut will be available on Vimeo later today. If you're wondering where the Tim Hortons coffee and the Timbits are, all that money went into movie budget. Anyways, four enemies of good community: poor excuses, ignorance, just not knowing what people are talking about, don't have a clue, tossed about by whatever opinions. Got to think about, is that me? Indifference, could care less about my own spiritual health or the spiritual health of anybody else. And too busy, just wrapped up in your own little world and just don't think you have the time. And above it all, seeing everything as a compromise, acting like a law maybe unto yourself. We've got to think about which one of these we struggle with and to put it out of the way and realize that it's time for real biblical community in life groups. And why should we do this? Well, they're about taking your faith. And this is what we're going to focus on for the next year in life groups. Well, that's kind of the direction of them, is that where Jesus intends you to take your faith, that's where we want you to take it. And that's into action, into service, into living the life, which is what being a disciple of Jesus is all about, being his apprentice. Okay? And what does it mean to take your faith into action? Well, why don't you open your Bibles here to James chapter 2. We'll also go to John chapter 4. And if you're not sure where that is in the Bible, you can grab a pew Bible out from the pew in front of you, and you can go to page 855 for James 2. So we're at James 2, that's page 855 in the Pew Bible. And the verse I just want you to note here is in the context of chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. And just a great treatise on what real faith is about, okay? So if you look with me at verse 18, in the second part of that there, James writes this here. He says, I will show you my faith by what I do. And that's a great verse to remember to take to heart. I will show you my faith by what I do. Now, in the fossil world, or the world of evolution, there is been this traditional search for the missing link to try to link us back to apes or something like that, right? And I don't know, is that search still going on? Are they still looking for a missing link? Okay, anyways, well, there's a missing link there, right? Trying to describe how we came about and to where we are without any divine or supernatural work or help there. But I just want to borrow that idea of looking for a missing link and bring it to what we're talking about here. And faith is the missing link between what you hear from the Bible and what you do in obedience to the word you heard. Faith is that missing link. Faith reads the text here, and then faith goes right into action with that. So we need to understand that faith is meant to take you into action, to hear, not just to memorize, not just to be able to quote, not just to be able to explain. I heard an illustration from one pastor talking about instructing your child to go and clean his or her room, and the child takes that list of things to do and memorizes it. Comes back and says, I can quote how to clean my room to you. I can do this, I can do that. But then it doesn't mean anything unless the child actually cleans the room. And so hearing the word of God, understanding it, you have to take it into action. And that's what James is getting at here in this passage, okay? And by the way, there is no missing link in the fossil world, okay? It's in the Bible. It's called Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And everything there. And just to give you a little note there in case you were worried about what I was doing with that. But faith is your missing link, okay? It takes you from what you hear to what you do in response to that. And the next passage I want you to look at here is in John chapter 4. If you could go to that, and if you have the Pew Bible, it's on page 753. John chapter 4. In the Pew Bible. There goes my sermon. And as you're looking for John chapter 4, verse 34, I'm going to grab a bottle of water. Okay, the context here is something like this, is that Jesus is kind of, he's traveling, he's spreading the good news of the kingdom, and he comes to this Samaritan village, and Samaritans and Jews didn't have a really good relationship. Jews looked down on the Samaritans, the Samaritans realized that, and there was tension, hostility, and conflict between them, and the Samaritans were kind of considered half-breeds, you know, dogs, whatever, And so he takes his disciples who are accustomed to this way of thinking, and he takes them through Samaria, and he stops at this well, and they go off to get food, and this woman comes to the well, and they have this amazing exchange in John chapter 4. It's just absolutely amazing. And it's in this context that Jesus is talking to her about the main and the key purpose of God in this world here. And if you go to verse 34, I just want to read that to you, because it talks about faith going into action. I think this is our prime example of faith going into action. In verse 34, it says this here. Okay, his disciples have just come back with food, and he says, you know, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And they're wondering what's going on. And then he says in verse 34, he says, my food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me. Did you hear that? My food is to do the will of him who sent me. If you want to grow in your faith, you have to work at putting things into action. And to finish his work, God calls each Christian to something, gives them a measure, and expects them to take that and to live up to that and to fulfill that, okay? Now, what's the work that Jesus is talking about here? Okay, verses 35 to 38 say this. Do not say, 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages, and even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps is true. I send you to reap what you did not, what you have not worked for. Others have done this hard work, and you have reaped their benefits of their labor. Okay, so he's talking about the fact that his main work is to go out and to seek and to save that which is lost. And that's what he's doing in this village with this Samaritan woman who had four husbands and was one guy number five. Can you imagine what kind of a dicey situation that would be to step in? For a guy to step into to do that. But here's Jesus going in to save such a person as this. And that's a very important note, because Jesus sat with the worst of them. He sat with the sinners and the tax collectors. Mark chapter 2, verse 15, you don't have to go there, talks about that, how Jesus sat with notorious sinners, had supper with them, and they were moved by him, and they followed him. Okay, Luke 19:10, I came to seek and save that which was lost. So whatever putting our faith into action means, that has to be front and center in what we do. Okay? That has to be front and center. We'll talk more about that in a moment here. So if the point of faith is going into action, we should probably talk for a moment about opportunities to do so. And I have the privilege of working with this great discipleship team. And Julian, who helps with me with the new people who come in, so we can do our best to look after new people that come our way. And June helping me with the big and growing life group ministry. But we also have a new person, Krista Hine, who is helping with the service thing. And we're just developing the newest part of the discipleship process, calling, we want people to connect with us, we want them to grow with us, and we want them to serve Jesus with us. And so I'm just going to ask Krista to come up here just for a moment here and stand just so you can get a look at her. And we're building a folder, a portfolio of opportunities for you to serve in here that really help to achieve our vision as a church, okay? So this is Krista Hine. You're going to see more of her on the website, and she's going to be asking you the big question, are you serving with us? So that's what Krista's going to do, and she's busy working on that. So if you're looking for a place to serve, you can contact me and I'll send you straight through, and she'll tell you what there is and how to do it and what hoops you have to jump through. So we have things like life group leaders, right? We have things like serving in Christ Kids Junior and Senior, needing lots of help there. Great ministry with vision. We need help with youth leaders and sponsors, right, Dylan? And we also need help with ushers and greeters, very important ministry. You know, first impressions are where it's at, right? So these are some opportunities that Krista has the goods on and can help you if you're not sure what to do and where to get involved. She's a great person to come talk to, and you can start putting your faith into action as far as continuing this operation here, right? There's work to do here so we can continue the discipleship process in here so that we can get out there and find a place to serve out in the community where we can reach people who desperately need Jesus. Thanks, Krista, for coming up. So that's the person you want to look to if you want to get involved in service and you're not sure what to do. And so we just want people to get connected in here and to help us here. You know, there's lots to do here, but find a place to serve here and to give your whole heart to it, and also to realize that you're out in that community as salt and light. Okay? You're out in a community to be salt and light and to serve Jesus and to find a place out there where you can do that. whatever that may look like. And we'll start helping building ideas for that as time goes on with Krista. So this, to give you an idea of what you can do very practically, putting your faith into action, come and talk to us about places to serve and what you can do. And what we really want is for you, all of you, to connect into this body of believers, okay? There's other good churches in town. Find the place where you belong, but you're here. We want you to connect here with us, this body of believers. We want you to be able to explore the faith that's been given once for all to the saints right here in this book. We want you to learn that with us. We want you to apply that truth with us in this body of believers. And again, the end design is we want you to serve Jesus with us. Keeping the discipleship process rolling here and reaching those out there who are in desperate need of a Savior. So that's what we're really after here. And what you need to do is to, right as soon as the service is done, you need to go out and check out your options out there and get involved and ask some questions. You'll have the next 3 Sundays, but the more you wait, the less opportunity there is. They start to fill up fairly quickly, and we're limited on what we can do. So head out there and have a look. And what I'd like to do is ask some more people to come up so that you can see some great faces and a little bit, a blip on what they're doing here. I'd like to ask Debbie Dewar, Cheryl Johnston to come up. I'd like to ask Ken Dewar to come up. If you guys just want to come on up here and join me on the stage, that would be great. I think I warned half of you this was coming, and the rest are surprised. I'd like Bob, if Bob is here, or is he out doing his janitor stuff? If Bob Gold is here. You'll have to talk to the guy who played Batman about that. So here we have some people, and these are just some of the options that we have. Cheryl, you're doing a group that's studying Daniel with women, and you got a good response there. And what's just a little bit of what that's about there?
It's going to stretch us big time.
It's going to stretch you big time. Okay, that's just what you need, isn't it? And Debbie, you're leading a group that is dealing with what topic?
Just being wise, how God wants women to be.
Okay. Very important wisdom for women in a world gone wild, right? Good. And Ken, you have an interesting opportunity coming up here for guys, right? A real hardcore guys deal that's happening the second Friday of every month for 4 months or all year?
We're going to try to take it all year.
Try to take it all year?
We're going to spend some time studying God's Word.
Okay.
Praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world.
Yeah.
And looking at what it really means to put our faith into action. And
there you go. That's awesome. So this is going to be 4 hours on a Friday night. And so you're going to be right into it and give yourself. They're going to get it all in on that one night there and do that every month. So good opportunity to come out and talk to Ken. And Bob and his wife Brenda is not able to be here, but they run a very important counseling ministry for us called Freedom Session to help people, who are struggling with that hearing and doing, right? We all do. I'm signing up this year to go through it myself for my own benefit too, but just to really help people find freedom from the things that really tie them and bind them, right? And so
Jesus
meets them at their pain and at their need. So you need to come talk to this guy. They're running an awesome ministry out there, and there's lots of other opportunities to come out and see what's going on for life groups and to get involved in one. And hey, there's still time to probably throw one together and lead one yourself if you'd like to do that as well. But hey, thanks for coming up. Some faces to go look for and talk to out there. Great people to sign up with, leading a good group. Many more out there. We're going to try and get done just a little bit earlier here so you have time to go before you get your kids and look what's there. And what I'd like to do at this point is move into communion. And if the deacons who are serving and those who are at the table with me would kind of come up and just come up and take your places, put your faith into action, come and get up here and get ready to serve. I think what I would like to focus on here as we go into communion is let us come to the cross afresh today and to mortify those poor excuses that we think allow us to do whatever we think we can but really don't, okay? It's to put all of that aside. It's to surrender to Jesus afresh and his people to be his body, to be a part of that contrast society that we are to be, well, in this world. Okay, so, and then in this city of Campbell River. For this, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 11, and you're welcome to follow along if you open your Bible, or you can listen along here. I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and that's page 812 in the Pew Bible. And going to verse 23, it reads like this. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You need to understand that communion is not something you have to be good enough for. It's the message that makes you good enough by God's grace, by the precious blood of Jesus. Okay, we don't want to make it something it's not. You, if you are a believer and a follower of Jesus from your heart, you're welcome to partake in this with us. If you're new to church and you're not really sure what this is about and you're just here, don't go through the motions on this. Just let it pass you by. Ask questions about what this great gospel is that we celebrate every month and remember through these elements here. And why don't we take this opportunity here to bow our heads and take a minute to just ask God to prepare you for this. And I'll follow up with a prayer. Father, we are just grateful to you. We have a desperate need of this gospel that saved us, continues to save us, and will save us to the utmost. We thank you for what it symbolizes, your body, your precious blood that was given in our place so that we, straying sheep in sin, could be washed, forgiven, made to live for righteousness, made to be able to come back to the great shepherd and overseer of our souls. Prepare our hearts for this, Lord, just to freely receive from you that because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are free to enter in to the Holy of Holies, so to speak, and to know you and to fellowship with you. And so we thank you, and we want to remember this gospel that will never change. It will remain the same till you come again. And so we gladly remember it together. In Jesus' name, amen. We've had just a bit of a change up here, but whoever is giving thanks for the bread, I'd like to pass the mic to that person. Okay, thank you, Roy.
Let us pray. Lord, we come here today as your humble servants to thank you for the sacrifice you made for us. We know that the sacrifice was not because the Romans or the Jews killed you. We know that this was planned from the foundations of the earth. From the time in the garden when the serpent was bruised in the head and you were bruised in the heel, we knew that you had a plan of redemption for us. You planned this through the fathers of our faith. We know that this was manifest as a central thing in our religious lives, that is the cross. We thank you for your sacrifice of your body. Mm-hmm. We know that we are bought with a price, and we know that you'll come again. We are so grateful for this, that you redeemed us from being lost to being children of an everlasting kingdom. We thank you for your sacrifice, and we will commit ourselves to serve you until you come again. We thank you for this, Lord Jesus. Amen.